Say something, Josh. Oh. Nope.
Oh, everything's fine now.
It's almost always one button, Josh.
Yep.
One little button. What?
Patty said, she was in the bathroom and she goes, there was a boy in here before me. And I said, there was? I said, who was it? And she was like, that guy. And I said, Tom? And she goes, yeah. She goes, and he came out, and I said, you should use the boy's bathroom and not the girl's bathroom.
Is that what she told him?
Yes.
Oh, yes. You know, did you hear the story?
And I said, yes, I did hear the story. And I said, Addie. I said, what did he say? And he goes, he said he forgot. I said, try not to talk to him anymore.
Which is
stay away from him. He's bad. See, this is just maddening. Every time we do a podcast, I find out something different about GarageBand. Do you do GarageBand or what do you do? You do Audacity?
I don't do a podcast.
Do you record
yourself? What about video? How far along is that movie you're making about the werewolf?
Do you need a trash can?
I haven't even started. Can I offer you a suggestion as far as writing it? Have you written it? Are you done?
Almost.
You know what my favorite.
And don't come back.
You know my favorite job I've heard of in entertainment is Patton Oswalt. Every now and then people hire him. He'll go watch a rough cut of a movie.
Yeah.
During the writing process, and then he suggests lines punch it up, and it really kind of works. And that something in that struck a chord with me as far as that sounds like something I could do.
Absolutely. I'd love to have
that's what I react to stuff. I don't necessarily sit down and go, okay, write me a funny movie. But if it's sort of there, I can.
Yeah.
But when you told me about the movie, do you have the element in the movie that werewolves are just a given?
Kinda.
In society? Okay, good. It's the society they're living.
Yeah,
living
in. It happens. It's not like they're just among us, but when they're like, nobody really questions.
Right. Oh. But it's like, you don't have to tackle that. No, it's really a werewolf, that thing, right? Or do you?
Once they find out that it's
a real one,
is, they just go with it.
Because that was my favorite thing about, what's the movie I'm thinking of? What I'm trying to think of. I forgot to start it again. We're already recording. You left the building. You left the room.
This works out with you time-wise.
What do you
pull
mean?
Your microphone.
An issue with
Josh. Pull your microphone.
No, there's no time. But you are running over something.
Oh yeah, is that my PC?
I don't know.
Something's happening.
No, the time is okay with me if it's okay with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, sure. I just run on her schedule, so that's kind of like whatever. Yeah,
the
I
boss.
Know. The boss.
Thank you, Jason.
Does it matter what I think if this time is okay with me?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
You and I should go
so
see.
What are you?
You and I should go see The Kingsman today. What are you doing today? Are you napping?
I was going to nap since I'm going to have to get up at midnight.
I do have to get up at midnight. Yeah, you're right.
Why do you have to? You guys are going to a movie tonight?
A Chopping Block midnight at Hamilton Town.
Is it
Town
so scary?
Center.
I have no idea what it is. I don't. I.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Remember. Who's Mulaney that they were talking? Who you guys were talking
John
about?
Mulaney.
John Mulaney.
He's a decent. The John Mulaney show or whatever was it? Mulaney.
Yeah, maybe it was just called Mulaney. Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Funny guy, but it just didn't translate to a sitcom.
Okay,
had a bad sitcom.
Like Home Improvement or Seinfeld, kind of like that.
Except those are.
Except the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, my opposite thing is catching on, right?
Tim Allen.
I was. I feel like I. Like, I thought I was being serious, so I had to say the opposite.
I figured you weren't, but then I was like, maybe she doesn't like those. Because it's Home Improvement that can be divisive. Sometimes.
You were going to say
maybe.
Oh,
that's true. They really don't belong in the same category. There's probably.
Seinfeld is considered.
Based on success, not content, they were equal. They're both pretty successful, right?
Both are very successful.
Okay.
You think Tim Allen got Binford tools from Binford Avenue in Indianapolis?
I don't know. When he was here, it wasn't named Binford, though. I think Tom Binford was still alive.
Tim Allen lived here?
Tim was on the show. No, he was on the Bob and Tom show a bunch before he.
Oh.
at his sitcom. There's a famous...
But it took place in Michigan, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, and he's, yeah, he's definitely a Michigan
guy. There's a famous...
yeah, he should do commercials for him or something. That would make sense.
Appearance by Tim on the Bob and Tom Show where he explains...
Are you
she have her headphones on?
Yeah. No, I think she heard you so based on
she
her
did face look at me with big eyes. Chicky, you're not supposed to say the F word.
Turn Taylor Swift up.
Oh, sass.
Mm-hmm. Put your headphones on.
When are we starting?
We are. We're on.
That's all recording, darling.
I was going to say, when did we meet you?
With Tommy Johnigan. We were just talking about this.
I know, but I when? I know, I know the circumstance.
Five years ago.
You think so?
Yeah.
5 years ago?
At least five, I bet.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if I liked you initially or not.
You didn't.
I was.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I promise he didn't.
Oh, what didn't he like? Because you laughed a few things I said that day.
I don't know. What was it?
Do you want me to tell you? Do you want me to be completely honest and tell you?
I think I know what you're going to say. So, yeah, go ahead. It's fine.
He thought that I would be physically attracted to you, and so he didn't like you.
Wow.
Because he knew you were my type.
Oh, okay.
And so I said, it's okay.
Wait a minute. Hold it. I was just guessing he was your type. So he is your type.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
We've already had this discussion.
So.
That's true.
All right. So I don't need to take. So I really don't take that personally. It had nothing to do
with
who I am.
No, it's kind of a compliment, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, motherfucker. Whatever.
You don't, chick. Well, now that I know this, so what's the story with you guys?
You need to shut your dirty mouth and ease on, brother.
No, so this is how I explained it to him so that he would be comfortable with it. And I said, of course I'm attracted to him. He is like your younger brother. That's what he looks like.
Younger? Yeah. What do you mean younger?
Well, that's just a numbers thing. Yeah. I am younger.
Yeah. And I was like, he, you guys share a lot of the same interests and you look alike and you compliment,
it is amazing.
You know,
amazing.
And he
how
was
much
like,
we like,
oh, okay. And so then he was more comfortable.
See, but
with
my contention is she does
it
this to
days.
Me all the time.
Yeah. She mentions,
presents, no, she can almost,
I can talk him into anything.
You can talk me. I say the word con. Me.
It comes from a good place. So you can't say con.
Always.
No.
It always comes from a good place?
Almost always. If it doesn't come from a good place in the beginning, we'll get there. Are you going to write an incident down? You are, aren't you?
No, I'm fine.
What?
I'm
tell me.
Anything else? No, I can't think of anything. No,
you can, and you're not going to say it. I can tell by the look on your face,
here's the
dick.
Thing. I fought for a very long time to not be so defensive about all stimuli. Because we're going to talk about this in a minute.
Okay.
Remind me about what I just said. Okay. Can you do that? This is our new theme song, Josh.
I love it.
You like it?
It's Bob Schneider from the new album called King Kong. Rusty rays of light shine down on his face. By the blood from and there's the a girl in it that sounds exactly like Jess. And I'm going to go see Bob Schneider in Chicago on March 7th. And I contend, Bob... Because he's been on the podcast twice. He did this for us to use as our podcast, but he didn't tell us because he knew I'd find it. Baby, I'll figure out something. Give him a slip, they won't be expecting the singer. Slip him a Mickey and give him a perfect. Finger. I had a finger for a ringer, but I had no idea the DEA was using the singer. But it's all right, cause I love you, baby. It's all right, cause I love you, girl. Are you ready? It's all right, cause I love you, baby.
You ready?
I'm ready.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's roll.
Does that sound like her?
Yes.
It kind of does sound like me, but...
Finally, she admits it. Like
no, I said it did, but the more you listen to it...
You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's roll. Oh, yeah, you're right. The second time, it didn't sound as much like her.
Yeah.
Thank you for downloading the Off the Air podcast. We're back, and with another return guest, one of our favorites, and evidently my younger brother, Josh Arnold. Comedian Josh Arnold is here.
It's great seeing you guys. Thanks for having me back.
Good to see you, buddy. I would imagine Jess is really happy to see you.
Oh, fuck my life. I have some respect. I'm not going to hit on him right in front of you.
Not right in front of me. Oh! So anyway, my point is, the last time you were on the show, I don't know what we talked about, but I think the last thing was comedy. And,
we always cover a lot.
Right. But we do that with all of our guests. But our latest passion now, or my latest passion is, and I kind of shoved it onto her. Because I think it applies to her. I think, you know what? I think it applies to everyone.
It does.
Probably. I think it applies to everyone. There's a theory that there's a concept called self-parenting. And it's not just with only children. It's not
just with children with shitty childhoods.
It's not just with children with, when you get older and mature and become captain of your own ship, in charge of your own life, whatever, you get to a point where you parent yourself or make decisions or talk to yourself. Or
it's the internal dialogue. The dialogue.
Your internal dialogue mimics how you were parented, good or bad. That's what you keep doing for yourself or to yourself for the rest of your life until
what was
you become,
your childhood like?
Until you become a well, he was very. I didn't know you were very poor. Is that a true thing?
It is. Yeah, yeah. We weren't. You know,
you were on a lunch program, right?
Yeah, we were on the. My brothers and I were on the free lunch program. I have three brothers, one older, two younger, and very low income family. My dad was on disability. He has very acute anxiety disorder.
Oh, my goodness.
Which now almost sounds like a non-thing because it's so common. You know, it's like such a misused almost.
Oh, overused for sure. Yeah.
But to be affected by that.
I feel like every time I go into a Starbucks, I hear a girl go, oh, my God, I just had an anxiety.
Yeah, exactly. You do.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
And a lot of the Starbucks, the therapists are right there and they're having an appointment.
That would appear. Yeah.
So he, this was... I mean, he actually started having them. Well, now looking back, he had them as a kid.
So panic attacks and sweating, breathing,
Just very, and it's all chemical imbalance, just brain misfirings and everything. Sure. I actually have it as well, and that's we talked a lot about that.
Right, we did.
What about your brothers?
Signs of it, but none of them are on a daily med like I am. But they could. They probably could be. But they definitely have signs of it, and depression it sort of goes hand in hand with as well. So he couldn't work, and then my mom couldn't work because
lazy.
Just plain lazy. My dad couldn't really be alone. He wasn't comfortable being by himself.
Okay.
And driving
and everything. Yeah. So.
So it was truly debilitating then.
Yes. Yes. Wow. And. Since he's better now because the medicine is better, the treatment is better. I mean, in the early 80s, he was like, you know, doctors didn't know what really to
do. How do you treat this? They probably just like snap out of it. Like that was
there
probably.
There was plenty of that from family and friends.
Right. Okay.
Which only helps to make the situation worse.
Mm-hmm. There's that famous scene. I'm trying to clear my throat. In the Sopranos where... the whole backbone of that series was that Tony is this mafia boss and this leader of men and tremendously capable individual, both physically and evilly or whatever that word would be. But he suffers from depression and he sees a therapist and all this. And it's almost a debilitating depression. But then there's the scene that between him and Carmela, his wife, in the kitchen where his son, AJ... is exhibiting depression and when you said family wasn't really on your father's side as far as
not understanding
what's going on. Tony's wife Carmela would be like, so you're depressed and now you're getting our son to play this card or whatever. And that's hurtful and because it's not, and that's when Tony goes, you think I choose to be this way?
Right.
And sometimes it's a lot. It's just that simple. You know?
You've referenced this specific episode.
Oh, no.
Many times.
And
because it's happened to you.
It's the exact same conversation my wife and I had about our son.
Yeah.
Almost word for word.
Yeah. Wow. And, yeah. I mean, that's
it's pretty powerful stuff. But so when you said that about your dad, I can imagine how that wouldn't have been a great way to grow up.
Right. And he. I mean, even early on, I think he was getting some shock treatments. They didn't really know that kind of thing, which then they were like, oh, wait, this is just making it, just exacerbating the whole thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. But now, you know, medicine's been better. They know they've got him on the right amounts, the right times, and he can actually travel now and things
feels
like that.
Feels okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
And he's doing well. He's always been very funny and always been, he was a great dad. But those things, and I know that there's a fair amount of guilt when he found out that I, you know, when I started exhibiting symptoms and then actually got diagnosed.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, the guilt. My brother's son, my nephew, is starting to exhibit signs of it as well. So, and...
But isn't it, I guess, I would take it as comforting that you guys at least know now. You're very comfortable in knowing what's going on and you're aware of it. And you have to treat it differently than when your father first...
Exactly. And so...
And that, you started to exhibit, yeah.
I either don't have it as bad as he did, or they did, you know...
The medication's better.
I started when I was 17, 18.
Right.
To sort of understand what it was and, or you know, that I even had something. Because I think when my dad, he was just like, maybe I'm just nuts. Maybe this isn't...
Oh, sure. Yeah. How old are you?
36.
Oh, okay. So you're not that much older than me. I found that when I was in high school, and I was raised by my dad, that... It was like I couldn't find my place. Like I didn't have a group. I didn't identify. I wasn't an athlete. I wasn't, you know, smart. I wasn't a druggie. Like I couldn't identify with any other group. And so I felt like, well, I'm going to be the medicated girl. And so I was like, how many antidepressants can I be on and tell people I'm on and, you know, and they can hear the pills in my backpack? Because I didn't know what else to do.
Well, and you've told me, too, that...
But I was honestly going through, like I said, right. I think they're mentally healthy is not a phrase you would use to describe my family in the least bit, but... I think that a lot of what I was going through as a teenager was a girl growing up without her mom present.
Gotcha.
And, but I felt like, well, then I'm just, it's going to, people will think that I'm cool or I'm grown up and I'm like, you know, that I'm on an antidepressant. And I think that was, do you feel like that was a big thing, that was common when you were in high school?
No, not, No.
No.
There was only one other person that I knew was on some sort of antidepressant, anti-anxiety med. Right. And we didn't publicize it at all. It could be one of those things. So you needed them.
Oh, like yeah. You, okay. No, I did. I know. And I've debated, and I don't know if I've said this before, but I'm going to say it. When I first started to exhibit signs of like just crying for no reason and not having control over it, my dad would cut a Valium in half and give it to me. And I honestly think I slept for like an entire weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he he didn't mean to do any harm, obviously, but he didn't know what to do.
Right.
You know, I'm a teenage girl and I can't get my shit together. And he's like, well, you know, I'm going to give you some relief, I think is what he was trying to do. I assume. Right. I don't think he would ever try to do any harm.
No. Yeah. No, gosh, no.
Yeah. But then, I mean, you know, but then he got me a therapist and we got a prescription. And, you know, up until I had children, I mean, from the time I was 15 or 16 until I had kids, you know, I was always on something.
Yeah, I think, you know, the more people talk about it now, the more I'm like, oh, you really don't have it. Yeah. It's almost in vogue to be on something.
Yeah.
Because if you really did have it, there would be no need for you to discuss it.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people like this, and this sort of goes with me as well. And I think my dad has, if I talk about it for the next hour, I'm going to start feeling it. I'm going to start feeling like
it. You think
so? I know. Now, that might be semi, you know, psychosomatic.
Okay.
But it still feels like the actual thing. So, and by the way, I'm not saying we need to stop talking about it. I'm just.
Well, I don't want to encourage.
It is one of those.
Yeah, I understand that.
It was also just so misunderstood. Like when I told, you know, when I started telling my closer friends when I was 19, 20.
Yeah.
Hey, I have panic attacks. You're like, well, what do you think you're going to die? Is the world going to end?
Yeah.
Or there'd be times where I was like, I'm having an attack. And they'd be like, well, you know what it is. You don't have to worry about it.
Did you try to self-medicate with anything other than like liquor or marijuana?
No, I drank quite a bit when I was, you know, 18 until maybe mid-20s, late-20s.
Right.
But it never felt like self-medication to me, and I don't think it was. I think I was just
you were 18.
Having fun. Yeah. I liked it. And
who doesn't like it at that age, right?
Other drugs, you know, the only thing, the hardest thing I've done is marijuana, and sometimes I had fun, sometimes I didn't.
Yeah.
But I think that also might be par for the course with that.
Yeah.
I just wonder sometimes, thinking, what my family would have looked like had my mother been treated for. I mean, at least she was bipolar. Mm. At least. And you know, it's not her fault. She had a kid when she was 17. I mean, and that kid was me, which was no picnic. I mean, you know. But I don't know. And my dad was probably...
Don't you think your dad maybe was the one who could have benefited from medication more than your mother? Because in my brain, I think your mom was kind of innately mean.
I think that might be the... Yeah,
and
I think so.
And maybe it's the parenting that she received. I don't know. But I think there comes a time in your life where you go, yes, this is the way my parents raised me, but I'm going to be responsible for me now, and I'm going to change that behavior.
But that gets back to... Exactly. That gets back to the self-parenting concept. But you still... parent yourself the way you parent... You saw parenting. Yeah. That's the way you do it until you become aware of it and try and give yourself a break, because that's the way you make all your decisions. You know. And when you said my mother was mean, the thing that flashed in my mind was she would take my little fingers,
uh-huh,
and she would pinch them, uh-huh, and like in to the point where I don't think she broke them, but she did something to them where they're odd now.
Oh.
They
don't straighten out.
We used to call that milk the mouse. Like, come
here.
She
would say...
Are you serious?
That's exactly what she said.
Milk the mouse.
Milk your mouse. And she would come up and do that, and I would cry, and she would laugh, and then that would be it.
Uh-huh.
This, as a punishment, or this was a...
just
a form
thing?
Of entertainment, almost.
Almost entertainment and affection. There was a part of me... I mean, I'm not into pain or anything sexually, but I mean, as a part of me, affection that connected with my mom until I got old enough that I would distract her trying to make her laugh or something.
Oh, okay.
That's, yeah.
Do something else to make her laugh so that she wouldn't pinch you.
And hurt me.
Yeah.
That's weird I thought that was a pretty common... I didn't know that was common
Milk your mouse. That's exactly what she said.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? Did she used to do tendon pinchers too?
No, I don't remember that one.
These are just asshole cousin things we used to do.
Right.
You have any asshole cousins?
I have three brothers, so we used to...
Yeah, so that kind of stuff happened, right?
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
So when you have that dialogue in your head of...
No, when
God, I fucked up.
When
how
I
does
have,
that happen?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's like... It's what have you done now? You're worthless.
Mm-hmm.
You're in my way.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be invisible and stay away from every... I mean, honestly, it's mm-hmm. it's my mother's voice, and it's... But I didn't think I was crazy, but I didn't know how to stop it, and then I found this book, and it's exactly what I've been doing, yeah. And you feel less than, and you feel you know.
I don't know that I'm way harder on myself than my parents ever were.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what do you think that?
That's strange, right? No, I don't know.
I mean, they really, my parents didn't give me any reason not to be...
Not to feel loved or not
Or to make me feel self-conscious. And I'm very self-conscious and I'm very...
Yeah.
Well, but they did something.
I think that siblings have that effect on you also, though.
Okay.
The book is called
Just
Self-Parenting, The Complete Guide to Your Inner Conversation.
When he sent me that, I was like, this has got to be a fucking joke. Like, there's no way I'll read this.
By John K. Pollard.
But I'm going to give it a shot. I'll give it a shot.
It sounds fascinating, at the very least.
And yeah, that's what I said. I said, I need to know more about this term inner child, because that sounds so goofy.
Yeah, and shit does... Chicks never struck me as a guy who just sort of, like, if you got through the first 20 pages and thought it was hogwash, you wouldn't continue reading. You would...
No, and a lot of times Tom will say something to me on the air like, well, that says something more about you than it does about me. Like, I'll tell him, because things that he says really does upset
it's a trigger,
me and bug me and mm-hmm. is a trigger, and it's because... he's a father figure to me. He's mm-hmm. a brother figure to me. He's a whole thing. And when I really do, like, what he's not saying, I'm famous. And I don't know if this is you or part of this is you, but it's really me.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
No. How I react to myself. I think you have a little bit of what I do, but I can have an argument with somebody and them not even be there.
Oh, Josh, how often this happened on an airplane.
Amazing.
I would be asleep.
It's just amazing.
And I would wake up and he was so fucking pissed off at me. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea what had just happened.
You know, I mean, yeah. but in my head, I would go, well, I'm going to say this and she's going to say this and I'm going to say this. And I would just jump ahead to, I'm
already mad,
really pissed and mad. And it doesn't matter if you say good morning or go to hell. I'm going to react the same way because it doesn't even matter that you're here.
Do you do that to people, only people you're close to, or to? I do that to strangers.
I do it to strangers too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do it. Yeah.
Yeah. I probably do it to strangers way more than I do it to people
I
know.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. And then it's, but I walk into, I told Chick this the other day, and this is something that's like, I've just realized, but I realize I've lived this way my entire life. And then I realized this is wrong.
To me, it's the silliest thing. Now, listen to what she's going to say, and you feel free to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
But I fully acknowledge and own the way I feel about her. But listen to what she's going to say.
I walk into every room just knowing in my brain, knowing that I am the ugliest, most uneducated person. And that everyone in there has already decided they hate me.
Knowing this.
No, I know
she
it.
She knows it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I probably treat people that way. Assuming you think I'm stupid. So I'm not like, why would I even talk? Why am I even going to say anything?
Do you ever play up the, like, you're like, well, I'm going to sort of say something stupid here because they already think I'm stupid.
No,
like,
I don't. I just don't say anything. Okay. I just don't say anything. Which, because I'm just like, well, they, you know, they know that I there's no possible way that I could say anything smart.
But on the other hand, and she tells me the top five compliments that I've ever received that I can remember come out of her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
As far as how intelligent I am, how smart I am, how funny I am, and I will tell her, no one makes me laugh like she does. No one there. She comes up with stuff. She's just so. Has funny bones. She's a funny, and she's beautiful.
Yeah,
but she doesn't hear any of that.
Mm-mm. Do you hear it and just go, "Oh, he's lying"?
Do you think I'm lying? Do you think I'm mistaken?
Here, if you really want to dive in this, it's just because he wants to have sex with me. That's the only thing. Yes, I know for a fact that that's from growing up. Is that, you know, it was implied that. Every man just wants to have sex with you.
Okay, so if I were to compliment you in the same way, you would think, oh, he just wants to get my pants.
Right.
What if a...
That's absolutely true.
What
and
if
so,
a woman compliments you?
Oh, then no.
Mm-mm. She's just being false?
No, I don't believe anything any women say, probably. But then that too, probably goes back to my mother.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Because she would say those things and not mean it, or never said those things?
I don't know. I don't know if I want to, I don't know.
So yeah. plus, not only, there are certain parts of our relationship, past and present and future, that.
Oh, I'm interested in the future part.
No. Well, what I, yeah. Our relationship, whatever it is,
uh-huh.
I have friends, and
a
I'm not going to say who.
Clusterfuck, I believe, is what it's about.
Partially.
Yeah. Is that what you guys said while I was out of the room?
No, I have. No.
No, we talked
see?
About how.
She just did
I know.
It. Did
I know.
You see that? Just that quick.
No, we just made fun of your scarf.
Yeah, see?
No.
You're strangling me.
If I could have one. But your confidence and your not being confident all at once is wonderful and amazing.
Oh, no,
and
I'm faking any confidence that I have. That's completely, which I mean.
But if you could be more confident, especially around, you have your perception of people actually in this building. And not only, obviously, there are people not in this building right now that history has shown whatever they think is fine. But if you could just be a little bit more confident and a little bit more optimistic about how people think about you. And I feel like I'm talking to myself. It would make it so much easier on. Because
but I think the assumption is that I don't care what they think. Like, I have practiced not saying anything and not commenting because I want you to think that I don't care. That would be the
when
easiest.
Really you, oh, you care a lot.
I care. Oh my God. I care. Oh, my God. To the point that it's about people who have nothing to do with me.
Yeah. Now, have you ever?
I know it doesn't make any sense, and this is probably why I don't talk about it, because I know how asinine this sounds.
No, it doesn't. No,
it really
does.
Yeah, it doesn't.
You're doing
sound
it again.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound asinine.
It doesn't, because we've all. I mean,
I'm going to say at least 90% of the people listening to this podcast right now feel the exact same way you do all the time.
Right.
Yeah, but this is. I don't want to feel
way,
this way.
And the
no,
only
of course
reason
not.
I don't feel that way. As much as I used to, is I'm getting older. That's all.
Yeah, and you'd say that a lot.
Now, do you feel the same way about actions? Like, all right, so let's say Chick came up to you, you were watching TV. You're sitting on the couch. He came up and he said...
And I would be embarrassed and think that he thought I was lazy because I was sitting on the couch.
All right, so you're already in some sort of...
That's exactly what I thought when he said that.
Okay, so...
That's exactly what I thought he'd say.
All right, forget it. I mean, I'll even change it. You're busy. You're making dinner.
Okay.
And you're really... You're working your ass off on
okay,
this new...
Okay,
you know,
okay.
So at least you... So Chick comes in, and he kisses you on the forehead, and he says, I just want you to know you are the most talented woman I've ever met.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes...
Let me answer. Go ahead.
And then he says... And then, all right, so he comes in, you're the most talented woman I've ever met, kisses you on the forehead and says, I'm going out, I'm going to a movie, I'll be back in 5 hours or whatever.
Okay.
In your mind, would you still think, oh, he just wanted to have sex with me?
Yes.
Because his actions proved that he didn't care, that he wanted to go do something else.
Yeah, well, so he paid me a compliment, so I wouldn't be mad that he was leaving to do something without me.
Oh.
I know.
Some of this, I think,
and
might
not
just
only
be...
That, no, not only that, but I was setting her up for when I come home.
Would
well,
you...
that's possible. Yeah. Yeah, so, do I think that anyone would do something nice for me just to be nice? No.
One of our friends, and he's more your friend than mine, Brian once said, you know what?
Yeah.
Sometimes people are nice because they're nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it hit me like a thunderbolt because mm-hmm. it's so obvious and wonderful. Mm-hmm. But I think your head was going to come off, and you still don't believe that.
Yeah. And I think that maybe that's because, like we said, I don't know if I was surrounded by nice people. Growing up.
And this gets back to the inner dialogue and the self-parenting thing.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, it was like being in Vietnam. I mean, it was, and it took me a long, I relied on the kindness of strangers being my mother and father, and that didn't get me very far. So it took me a while to, so
but
now,
I wasn't saying, I'm not
paranoid.
Nobody was mean. I'm
paranoid of everyone, and...
But I guess the biggest lesson growing up with, if you, you know, like, I guess when you're in therapy, they're like, okay, let's start here. Where are you now? And let's work backwards, right? That's a very common thing. So when you get down to it, it's, my dad was, you know, keep it to yourself, keep your mouth shut. Any form of, and not in a bad way, it was just like, I really think that he wanted me to be an independent woman.
He was protecting you.
Yeah, he was protecting me
in
the best way he could. And it, obviously, it's not terrible. It could have been way worse. But now dealing with it as an adult and having children of my own, that it's, you know, if you're hurt, suck it up. If you're sad, there's always something worse to cry about.
Well, no, not only
keep
that.
Keep it to yourself. Keep your money to yourself.
And
don't
if you're
talk
having,
about anything.
And if there's a problem.
Yeah.
And if someone else has wronged you or done something wrong, well, what did you do to bring that on?
Yeah, what did you do to bring that on? Yeah.
What is your part in this?
Yeah.
Right.
And sometimes the answer is it wasn't her fault at all.
But I always think it was my fault.
Yeah.
But I think that kind of backfired. I really don't think that he meant that bad. It was more like, because you have so many parents who helicopter and say, well, Timmy didn't do this. This is, you know, like he didn't want to be that parent. Like if we went to jail, we sat in jail. Like dad, not that we did.
Well, but there was...
But if you got in trouble, like if you got
there was an
if
example,
you got spanked at school, you're going to get spanked twice as hard when you got home. And he was not going to question the principal.
And this
you know
is
what
just,
I mean? That
yes,
kind of stuff.
This
yeah.
has just dawned on him. There was quite a lot of an example of parents in your circle that their child, no matter what happened, that was never that kid's fault. It was somebody else.
In my circle?
I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
You
sure.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, that way he or she. Well, that wasn't her fault.
Mm-hmm.
What? See, but he went the other way, obviously, and that's not good either. So
yeah, there's some place.
Accept responsibility when it's yours, but
yeah.
If, you know, it wasn't your fault. You...
But like I said, I wasn't ever good at anything, so my dad didn't have the opportunity to be my cheerleader somewhere.
I wasn't ever good at anything.
You know what I was good at? I was good at parenting. From a very young age, I have younger siblings. That's what I was good at. I was meant to be a mother.
And?
That's what I was good
at.
Who
else did you parent?
My parents, probably. My mom.
No,
I don't know.
Your parents.
My
not probably.
I don't think I parented them a whole lot.
Having
younger
them,
siblings, and
whether
just,
they knew it or not, you parented them and your younger siblings.
But that's in a that's
all your
I think
siblings.
That was in the birth order book that somewhere, like if you are the oldest, at any your parents start relying
always,
on you.
What have I always
to
said
help
about
parent?
All this? Here's what I've always said. I'll talk to you, Josh.
Okay.
I've always said that we're going to get to a point where, son of a gun, the saner I get, the crazier she gets.
Okay, you've been saying that since we broke up, and it gets on my nerves every
why
time.
Why is it on your nerves?
Because you're not as sane as you like to say you are. If you keep saying you're sane, that doesn't make you sane.
I didn't say I was sane. I said the saner I get.
I would just say that you are on a path to be more mentally healthy.
And what would you say about yourself?
I immediately want to go, I'm fucked. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
But I'm comfortable with being fucked. Like, it's just, I'll deal with it on the inside and make sure the people around me are taken care of.
There's...
Did you just hear that?
I did, of course.
And
of
she's
course.
Sincere, and she means it, and
right.
To hell with her.
I would.
That's what you're saying about yourself. To hell with me.
The word martyr
else.
Comes to mind, but you're not, but you actually...
She's enjoying it.
Right.
I don't even think there's a word for it.
No, that's the thing is when I did realize that I'm growing and I'm going to figure this out is that when I said I wasn't good at anything growing up, I'm good at taking care of people.
Yeah.
I am good at doing nice things for people. And it just so happens I like doing it. Like it makes me happy to see other people happy. And that sounds like such a martyr type. No,
no, no, because you're not, you mean it. It's not like you're just being, you know.
Yeah.
Do you like, I would imagine you're very uncomfortable being pampered then.
I hate.
Oh, look what I found.
Ding fucking ding.
Ding fucking ding.
Is there anything, and yeah. I'm talking even small, is there anything that somebody else does for you that you enjoy at all, be it like a pedicure or a haircut?
She enjoys the idea of it, but she doesn't want to take the time to do it.
Yeah, because that would be selfish.
Oh, my God. Please try to enjoy something at some point.
You know,
here's the thing. This is what I enjoy. I enjoy.
You're gonna be dead.
I enjoy going, like I said this before, but I enjoy going to a store or to a place and just walking around and kind of taking it in and being alone, because then I don't have to give anyone credit for my happiness. This makes me happy. I'm by myself. I'm doing it.
Right.
And that's kind of those are my timeouts. But I don't want to have to. I don't want to have to rely on someone. Like Chick would make an appointment for me to get a massage, and I'd be like, "Oh fuck, I don't want to do this." And now he's like, "I owe him something because he did this."
Oh man.
Yeah, I know.
Would you feel the same about the masseuse? Would you be like, "Oh, this masseuse doesn't want to be touching me. I need to."
It's his job. He has to. He really doesn't want to. I mean, I know that.
Okay, I see.
So I'm doing him a favor. I gave him work. And then I'm going to tip him entirely too much. That's everything that's going to happen.
Who do you trust most in your life?
Oh, I don't, probably my kids. And they're 11 and 9.
So when they say, you know, Mom, I love you, and you look pretty today, are you thinking they want a toy? Or are you thinking?
No, I really think that they're at that age now where they're being honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, because recently I said something off the cuff to my son. And I realized, oh, emotionally, like, he's growing up and he realizes something. And I said, he did something goofy. And I said, are you on drugs? Like, joking. And he took it so personally and was so upset and pissed off at me that I would even imply something so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's usually what druggies do.
I guess get
very defensive.
Yeah, right, exactly. But I think that it's just... it was funny that I was like, oh, well, I think he's being genuine. Like, this is the first time he's genuinely been pissed. He's genuinely been pissed off at me. You know what I mean? Like, he was mad, angry face, the whole thing. I was trying not to laugh, but I was, but I recognized that this was real. And I felt like, okay, so now I've seen both sides of how he can feel about me. Mm-hmm. This isn't the last time, obviously, I'm going to piss him off, but yeah. But no, I really, I yeah, you're right. It's probably just my children is the only people that I think are honest.
Chick, I bet Jess is an amazing mom. What have you noticed?
She's the best one I've ever seen.
Thanks.
And
is she?
I think I've seen all of your parenting skills, probably.
Oh yeah,
over
you lived
years.
With us.
Yeah,
yeah,
over the years. I mean, it's.
Will she dole out a punishment?
You don't need to listen to this part because I know. Get a load of this. She doesn't listen to the podcast because she doesn't like the podcast because she's on it.
Oh, yeah.
But my point is, I'm glad she doesn't have to edit it and put it together. But she has an amazing gift for perspective, something I didn't have at her age, where she realizes that her daughter's not going to be the age she is right now. Her son's not going to. I mean, she really knows what today is and how to appreciate what they're doing at certain points. Whereas when I was, I mean, I think what I don't want to be so bold as I bet I speak on behalf of a lot of parents who have that. My child is bothering everyone on the face of the earth, and I need to keep them quiet at all times and away from everybody because that's the way I parent myself. That's the way my mother parented me. Mm-hmm. And sadly, and I thank God that all three of my kids still speak to me at all, considering the father I was and having the perspective and the advantage of looking back now and seeing how I parented those kids.
Were they as hard on you as you are on yourself about being a dad? I mean, do they think you? No, you weren't as bad as you think you were, or are they?
No. I was distant and moody and awful and unhappy, and
I think they just thought that was their dad's personality.
Yeah.
I don't think that it was.
I get texts every 2 or 3 days, especially from my youngest daughter, who's trying to. I don't know. I wish I could sit down and talk to her, really, and try to. But she's really. She's really appreciative and realizes how much how different I am now as opposed to when, because she and I have always sort of connected the most of my kids. I don't know why, but there's, you know, I mean, I love them all the same, but I mean, there's always one that you,
I would
it seems
think so.
Like it's easier to talk to, or,
yeah,
you know what I mean? And she's always been that one for the most part, but yeah, I'd do anything if I could go back because there are some things that happened that I will never tell anyone how I acted, and it was just it's awful. Mm. So
it's but one of those
you recognize it now, so that counts for something definitely.
It absolutely does, but it's all, I mean, parenting has got
it gives me perspective on my parents, and I was mad, especially my mother, for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I, if I'm totally honest, I'm still a little mad at her, but I mostly, I realize, I mean, she was 17 when, she was 27 when I was 10. She was 34 when I was 17. We were peers practically.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, all of my comedian friends, I'm 57. You're 36. I mean, that's, you know, I could easily be your father. Mm-hmm. And that's who my friends are. And that's how I grew up. And that's why I think I have all my friends are younger, probably.
Yeah. I think that.
I don't know.
I think that you are.
I gravitate toward younger people.
That's okay. But I think because it puts you in a mentor position and you want to give back maybe what you didn't when your children were growing
up. That's the thing that really gets me now is that I can't get enough of Jess's kids.
Yeah.
Because they are the exact age that I was the worst as a father.
Do you have grandkids?
I do. And I hear from them every now and then. That relationship is not where I'd like it to be as far as my oldest daughter. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's much better than it was last week or a month ago. And I think it's getting better every day. But she has her own issues. She's a mom and got two kids.
Sure.
You know, and they're still in eighth grade and like second grade or something like that. Ninth grade, fifth grade.
Are you talking about your grandkids?
Yeah, my oldest and my youngest. See, this is bad.
Mm-hmm.
He's in
fourth or fifth grade.
I'm,
and the other one is three or four.
And part of that is blocking it out. I just.
Chicken, look, this may sound like a total cop out, but I think some of it is also being a man. My nieces are.
Yeah,
and my nephews are so important to me. I love them. Mm-hmm. So, and there are things like that I just don't remember.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. I think that's 100% fair. My dad texted me the other day and he goes, the kids' birthdays are. And I'm like, they have been on the planet for 11 and 9 years.
Right.
But I really don't. I mean, and I think he asked me about every year, which is whatever. He just doesn't.
I guarantee he remembers, you know, the funniest thing.
They've ever said or ever made him feel. Yeah, that's probably very true.
Yeah. So that's.
I don't know. It's just, you know, life is. Here we are on the podcast.
Do you have a. Do you relate more to one child than the other?
Not right now. No. Yeah. It's very strange because actually, my son just became taller than me.
Oh.
And that's a big. Like, you don't think that that's a big deal?
He has been waiting. For years.
Yeah. And so, and then I said, I was like, Max, you know, it's official. You're taller than me. And he goes, that's really not saying that much. And I was like, yes, that's true. But I actually texted my brother the other day because it was just having some things that we were trying to work out with Max. And I said, what do you wish our parents would have done different with you? You know, I know as a daughter what I wish would have happened, but I kind of need your perspective because obviously I watched our parents parent you, but what do you wish would have been different? Like when you were in this age and starting to discover, hey, I really like this. Like you'll appreciate this. We've told this story, I think, a lot of times on the podcast already, but Max got a glimpse of Seinfeld and he's like, time out. This guy lives in New York City and he does comedy and he hangs out with his friends. This is his life. Oh, my God. Right. Yeah,
his job
right? yeah.
is doing something I would love to do all the time. Yeah.
So then we start season one, and we get like two or three episodes in. He goes, can you text Chick and ask him when this gets good?
That's actually fair.
Oh, he's very perceptive.
Yeah.
The first season of Seinfeld is a little bumpy at best.
Right, right.
Yeah. And unbelievably slow at worst.
And so I just want to, and like my brother said, and he goes, I just wish that somebody would have said, what makes you happy? What do you love doing? What do you, and I kind of want to just all at like, Max, you don't have to be a football player because we live in the Midwest. You don't,
right.
yeah, that you don't have to do that.
But you do have to play basketball. So,
have you seen him?
That was a joke.
He's not a basketball player. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. He could be that big inside presence. He's going to be about 6'7", probably 6'6". And
no. But
take up some space.
No, my relationship with my mom wasn't what I wished it was, and so I am just kind of like I want this to be healthy, and I want to be almost. Obnoxious about how much I love my kids because I didn't have that. Like, all my dad really wanted me to be independent, and my mom and I, like, much like Chick, she was 16. We kind of grew up together. We were peers. We were raising the same children.
Yeah.
And so I want to set the boundaries as a parent and go, I love you. I love you so much. I love you so much. It's going to get on your fucking nerves. And I support everything you do, and I will dump all the money I have into it, and I don't, you know, just that kind of stuff that I just, like, I've told Chick, like, this is my job for the rest of my life, is to make sure these two people are contributing members of society, that
that's
they're nice.
Fairly freeing to know that that's what you want to do and are doing.
Yeah, that's my job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's admirable. Very.
Thanks.
And not just because it's a parent, but just, I mean, how many people do you talk to where they're like, no, I know what my purpose is.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I didn't know what I was good at when I was 10 and 12 and 15 and 17 because I wasn't time for me to be good at it.
I remember you telling me once that you always saw yourself as a mother. But you never really saw yourself
as a wife.
As a wife.
Yeah.
Which is
probably true.
Yeah.
But that's because I was raised by a single father who had relationships fail because he was so involved in being a father.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
So I think that's where it identified. Yeah, yeah, so.
I don't know. I have fears.
Are you ever going to, you're going to marry Josh? You're going
to? I would like to, but I seriously, it has been so long since I've met a woman that I was like, oh, this is, I feel something.
Right, right.
It's so, and I don't know if it's because I'm stopping myself. I don't think it is. I feel like my eyes are open.
Right. Isn't that, I don't know.
I mean, it could just be selfishness. It could be.
Yeah, are you really particular?
No, not really.
Here's
the thing.
You.
I fall in love 10 times a day.
You got a strike zone? You got a big strike zone, small strike zone? What do you got?
Open
or closed or, I mean, to everybody? Or could be a blonde, could be a brunette,
Could
be
good.
Okay.
I do have, I don't know that I have a type. I mean, I've got.
First thing you look at or listen for or what are you drawn to first? You don't want to?
I don't like skinny girls.
Okay.
Necessarily. Like I'm trying to think
necessarily.
Well, because I say that, and then I could, you know, sometimes I meet one, I'm like, oh, you know what? You're physically you're not my type, but now you're the hottest person I've ever talked to because
I appreciate that.
Halloween 4, and now I have to like you. You know what I mean? It could be something like
no one likes Halloween 4, but me and this woman, right. Me and the future Mrs. Arnold. Okay.
I like the girls that I just think are super hot. If this is what you know, tell you,
yeah, let's do this.
Pink, I think is.
Rachel
Ray is a top. Uh-huh. Is in my
okay
up there. Aniston, Jennifer Aniston's up there.
Now, see, no, those are those are two very different.
I know they're all kind of all over
all
the place.
Perky. They're both. Well, I don't know how perky and bubbly Pink is.
I'm gonna go, but when you say that, I'm like, okay, tie these things together, and I think, like round face, round nose, like that's the first thing.
Marilyn Raskob.
I love her.
Oh yeah, she follows me on Twitter.
I'm insanely jealous. Yeah. That is wonderful.
Yeah. She's really a nice. She was at Crackers. I'm not sure how long ago.
Oh, wonderful! Yeah,
I went to see her backstage, and we had a great time.
She's just awesome. And actually. Maybe at the top of my list right now is Busy Phillips. Are you familiar with her?
She's adorable.
Oh, the blonde from
Freaks and Geeks and Cougar Town.
Right.
Yeah. Which is, I think, highly underrated.
I watch that show. You do?
I love it.
I don't think, I guess because I just,
you know
I
why
know.
I stopped. You know why I stopped watching it?
Why is that?
I thought for the longest time that Courtney Cox was beautiful, and I always did.
Oh yeah,
until
she was beautiful.
What's changed about her?
She jumped the shark. Yeah.
She's had some. I'm gonna say extensive. To me, it looks extensive.
I think that if you see it fresh, it looks a lot worse than when she's had a couple months and it's just kind of settled. You know, I said sounds bad, but that's how that works.
If you see her when she's in the Bruce Springsteen video and she's
adorable
and fun and happy, and then she gets some Botox or whatever she's had done. She looks like a hawk. She doesn't look a thing like herself. She's got that severe...
That's a great word for it.
That look, and it's I'm out.
Yeah, but Busy Phillips is the exact opposite. She's really cute.
And there's something about, and I think all those women, too, are very, they seem fairly independent, smart,
That's what I was
going to
say, too. Yeah, they seem very strong.
Yeah,
that way, yeah.
And quirky as well. I like a...
Uh-huh.
I like a...
a good quirk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
You know, like a lazy eye or something like that. Like
a real a terrible lisp.
There you go. Why not? Right?
An undeniable skin tag.
She thinks there's a hair in her eye all the time, but it's a skin tag. Yeah, something like that.
I had a girlfriend tell me the other day, just talking and conversing, and she said, she goes, "Don't you feel bad that you're never gonna feel in love again?"
Why would you? All right,
that's
now,
interesting. Why would she say
that? Is one of those comments where I was like, "You're talking more about yourself than you are me." I think
No, she loves. She loves. You know, and I'm just like, I'm not looking for that. Because I asked her, I honestly said, how do you do it? How do you do it? Because she said, this is the one. And I was like, how do you do that? How do you even talk to someone? I just don't have any.
So this is the one again for her? Is that why I don't know. Am I being awful or?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know she's been in love before, but she's never said this is the one. But I guess because I have that, I've been in love twice. Yeah.
I think it might just be once for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a, I don't, is that normal?
Well, you know my motto, what is it? all lives end, all hearts are broken. Caring is not an advantage. That's my motto. So that's what I do. That's what I roll with.
I mean, I said I fall in love, you know, 10
or
times a day.
Or
like
I could give a damn.
Right.
In that tone. That's my motto. Right. That's my bread and my butter.
I don't think that when she said in love, she meant like the butterflies.
Right.
Like this is it.
It's been so long since I've had that.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like I wouldn't know what to do.
But I don't long for, I mean, I look forward to it, but I'm not longing for it.
Yeah, definitely not seeking it out by any means.
Right, yeah, either am I.
Well, that's when it hits you, right?
Right, right.
That's when it comes around and smacks you right in the mush.
No.
Well, that's what they say in the movies. And you know me, I see everything in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I should be a director.
All of life's questions are answered in the movies.
That's exactly.
That's probably true.
Steve Martin in Grand Canyon.
Did he really?
Yeah, I think that was.
Have you seen a lot of movies?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Ever since I was little, that was what I.
That's what you did.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you do that with your parents? Did you watch movies with your parents?
Yes. Yeah. We rarely went to the theater. I mean, we were poor again, so that was going to the movies. Four kids, two parents. That was insane.
I know, wasn't that funny?
even then, it was like $7.
I think I can count on one hand the amount of movies we saw in a theater
as a family. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But renting them always.
Well, to me, watching movies was always a very private and a very rewarding.
Not those kind of movies.
Pursuit. No, not the ones you masturbate to.
Ooh,
I'm
stop.
Talking
Don't
about.
Say that.
I used to love watching
porn.
Oh, I actually still do. I like porn. But
I love.
Although it's
porn.
Not nearly as important to me as it used to be. Chick, do you ever watch it?
You know what? You guys can believe me or not believe me, but I hardly ever do. You don't want to know the real answer to that. It's not.
No,
even,
I do.
It's
no,
not even
no,
for
don't.
The podcast.
No, you don't.
No. Oh, okay.
It's just there's something. I just being an only child and getting to a point when you're a kid realizing, you know, my mother and father are not nice people, and it's heartbreaking and
hard to jerk off to.
And it's hard, it's hard to play with yourself.
Time out. Where is this going?
When you got that thought in your head, so you escape to the movies and you, you know. I've never been, I remember plainly being excited when a buddy of mine had a Playboy magazine. I remember that, yeah. But
has porn ever done anything for you, Jess?
Not really.
Mm-mm. No, I have such a negative feeling towards it. I do.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
No,
it's. This is exploitative. These women hate this.
No, not that so much as that it was just, there was a time in my life where, okay, well, which this probably shapes a lot of things too. Oh, is there not porn available? Eh, you'll do.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plan B to the.
Yeah. So that probably has a little something to do with why I
think
I'm so ugly. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So
Oh, I forgot. I can cuss on the podcast. Fuck. Okay.
Wow. If I haven't ever covered in the last 2 years that we've been doing this podcast, if you didn't know it about me, you probably know it about me now.
That's why people listen.
You think so?
I know so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
You can't beat real.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
This is all real.
Especially not only genuine, caring people.
What was our topic today? I've forgotten.
We didn't really have one.
That's why I love always having Josh on because it's just so comfortable.
Yeah, you brought up the self-parenting.
You know, I'm not on any, and maybe I should be, I don't know, but antidepressant right now. I'm on a buttload of drugs for
high cholesterol,
my chest and my stuff like that.
But, yeah. How are you feeling?
You know what? It gets back to this inner dialogue. If I have a twinge I was on a streak where I was paranoid and I was going to the emergency room, like I think I went. Mm-hmm. I even went more than I told you.
How recent after you've been on meds? Are you were no longer?
No,
on
he had a stent placed.
I had a stent placed in August.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. You said stent, I thought you meant a run, like a span of events, or you know what I mean?
No,
like,
he did, but I think that he forgets to tell. But he had a stent placed in August. That's pretty recent.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and then but
somebody talked me into jumping into a dunk tank. On a Sunday.
I didn't know that you had another block.
I don't want to be overly dramatic about this, like my mother would have been.
Yeah.
But I almost died.
He didn't almost die. He didn't know, because it wasn't until the doctor said, "What have you been doing?" He said, "Well, I was in an ice cold dunk tank yesterday." And then the doctor's eyes were like,
I didn't get it out of my. He goes, "You need to come over here now. Let's do this now." So, yeah, I went over it. But, getting back to the inner dialogue, are you really? Because my mother, no matter what, you went to work, you went to school, she replaced.
Yeah, that's
this
how
hard,
my dad was too.
This and your dad.
You can't, and you and in that, I always think of you have to kind of, give your mom a little bit of credit when it comes to your work ethic. I know, but both of your parents worked 40 hours a week, and that's. I think that has something to do. I mean, if you're going to give them credit somewhere. No? You don't want to.
I played 40 football games over 4 years. My mom and dad showed up at one.
Senior.
My last game. They just got it in. I don't know. But I like to say I forgive them, but then I say shit like that.
I kind of get it, because my kids have games sometimes, and I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be the longest Saturday
of
my
life. Well, sure,
of
course. But
you know?
Do you ever go to your nieces and nephews?
I do.
The participation by adults in our school systems
my dad
today
says that.
Is
like,
amazing.
Because we have to do a lottery for field trips now, because so many parents want to go, and my dad's like, what?
Are you kidding me?
That was one job where people were like, please don't ask me to do that.
I went to a friend's daughter's seventh grade basketball game the other night, and not only was there a first string girls seventh grade basketball team.
I don't know why you didn't know this.
There was a second string.
Yeah, there's A and B team in middle school.
Seventh grade girls.
Right.
There's a varsity and a junior varsity.
And we go to, and that's a very small school system compared to
it's
the surrounding.
It's tiny.
Yeah, compared to the
it's a little bigger than the one I came from, but not much.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I say we just cash it in. What do you say?
I love going to my niece is a, she plays a fast pitch softball, and she's.
That's fun to watch.
She's a pitcher, and she's really skilled. Oh, so yeah. It's.
They're amazing.
How old is she?
See, this is that guy thing.
Oh.
She's 13. 2001 she was born, so. She's
okay.
She'll be 14 in March.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good job.
Very good.
What about your nephew?
He in March he will be 10, I believe.
Okay. Okay.
So, and he plays soccer. He's I don't know. He has fun. I don't think he's that interested in sports though. I think he's a gamer for sure.
Yeah.
And kids, tell me if this is an irrational fear.
Okay.
It is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I feel if I don't have a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a son, I'm going to be supremely disappointed and not love him as much as if I had a girl.
Okay, let me tell you this.
Do you think that's? Wow. I don't know.
I had a girl first. I had my daughter. My oldest is a girl.
Yeah.
And I plainly remember carrying her around, and taking care of her and seeing boys and go. There's no way that I could have a boy.
Yeah.
There's no way I could love a boy as much as I love a girl. And then I had a boy, and it was like, oh, okay. So my point is, it'll change when it happens.
That's what I mean? That's what I've come to hear, but I...
Yeah. Because I'm kind of in the same boat.
Because think about it, when you had...
When I had
boy first...
Well, as growing up, I had names chosen for my children. which I didn't get to use any of them, but that's beside the point. but they were all boy names. Like I had no plan of having a girl.
Oh, okay.
It was me and my dad and my brother.
Yeah.
I identify with men.
You were the girl.
I was the girl, and that we're just gonna, that's the way it works for me. So I had a son first, and I was like, money, we're fine.
Perfect.
And then I had a daughter, and that's kind of when I spazzed out a little bit and freaked out and really started to doubt, am I going to be a good mother? Because I didn't know if I would do okay with a girl.
Yeah. I just feel like I would be a better dad with a girl.
And I think that's fair, which means when you have children, you will have all sons.
There's a very different, there's a very different attitude. I think there's a different attitude by guys, how they feel about their sons as opposed to their daughters, than there is. Maybe this is wrong.
I think it's the same. You know, no, there's that mother, that mother son relationship, and there's that father daughter relationship. Yeah, I get that.
I think boys are given so much more leeway than girls are.
Oh, 100%.
Really?
100%.
There's the old joke. I think Larry Miller, some movie he's in. He tells somebody, he goes, you know, I found condoms in my son's room. Big ones. And he's very excited. So yeah. Can you imagine? You know, I found condoms in my daughter's room. Big ones. You know, it's the totally, right. It's a whole new ballgame.
That I can imagine. But what if it's the same crime? Your son throws a rock through the car window. Your daughter throws a rock through the car window. Does the son still get more leeway, you think?
Oh, no, because. No.
I think the girl.
You kind of laugh and you go. You just, my daughter threw a rock through your window and broke the window. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Max, you're being careless. How the hell could that happen? Yeah. No,
here,
that's
Max.
Exactly what
no,
would happen.
No, don't run. You're making it worse. Come
it
here.
It completely depends. I'm with him. It depends on the situation, 100%. I think that, and birth order has a ton to do with it. But I think that, you know, my daughter's the baby. My son's the oldest. It's just like they're going to be my favorite people in that gender forever. Like they don't have to worry about ever working against anyone.
Yeah.
Because there's three sisters in my family and then my brother. My brother, I'm going to be real honest, doesn't really speak to my mother. Very rarely. I'm going to say quarterly, and that's being very fair. So let's go twice a year probably is the most realistic. And my mom still has that. I mean, she has him up on a pedestal. He can still do no wrong. But you get my sisters, so the three, her three daughters, and her in a room, and it's game fucking over. Like somebody's screaming, somebody's trying to throw a punch, somebody hates, somebody's drunk. Like it's just, it's.
You guys are real white trash. Is there a?
Oh yeah.
All true.
There's a hubcap.
All true. No, but it's funny because I told him, I said, so anytime we have a family function like that, I have to individually talk to my mother and make her think I'm on her side.
Yeah.
Like, hey, they're crazy. And just grab my middle sister. Hey, we both know they're out of their minds. Me and you.
So you're the
Let's
diplomat.
Stay calm. Yes. Make every one of them think that I'm on their side and that we're working against the other two.
Yeah.
And it's fine. We're all fine. Everything's fine.
And then you go in your own room and think they all hate me.
Mm-hmm. Then I go take shots. Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds really good. A shot.
Shot of something.
Maybe I will.
There's
have
nothing
you
around
pick
here.
Me up for the movie before you.
Chick, do you?
It's none of your business, Josh.
You're absolutely right. You are absolutely
go.
Right. Do you think you have or would make a good spouse?
Now?
Yeah.
Now I would. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But no, not before. Absolutely not. I feel sorry for almost everyone who was married to me. No, that's not true. I feel sorry for all of them. I do. That's true.
Really?
Yep.
Starting to sound like me.
How many husbands have you had?
I was
just
no.
One.
That's what I thought.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I mean, just that it's saying it's his fault. That's what I was implying. No, I'm one and done. Yeah.
Done.
No, 100%.
Hmm.
Yeah, because that's the same conversation. I've had that conversation with him and with my girlfriend I was talking about earlier. I mean, if that is even considered getting remarried or doing that ever again, it's not going to be until they are married and have a family. Like, this is it.
Yeah.
I am 100% devoted to this.
Chick, could you be in a relationship like that? Like, could you be in a long-term relationship, let's say 10, 12 years, and not get married and be fine with it?
No.
Or do you need it? Do you need the...
Well, I guess no.
I don't know. Could you?
Would you feel more secure?
Could
if
you?
You?
Would
the...
you? Am I? I don't know.
Okay. How long did we date before we were...
Okay. How long ago was that?
I don't know.
5 years?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know.
Back off, sister.
Not long.
No, we... Yeah, we were engaged probably...
I think it was like 9 months.
You were engaged?
The two of us?
Yeah, yeah. We were engaged yeah. for...
Did I know this?
2 years? I don't know.
A year and a half, 2 years? You want to see the ring? I still have it.
It's beautiful. It's really beautiful. Yeah, we were engaged.
Oh, no, that's okay. I sold that ring. Never mind.
No, you didn't. No, he... A surprise flight to New York and right in front of Prometheus.
Okay.
The
the skating rink.
Let's roll.
Yeah. it was good.
Why the distraction? What's bothering you about
that? No,
ring?
It's not bothering me. I just don't that was then. This is now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to pick at scabs and
No, it was fine. Don't do this.
No, I'm not. No.
He's not. He isn't. I'm just being
this is called comedy.
Okay. Walk me through it.
But there's a little truth to it, but it's not as much as you think there is. Yeah.
Have you ever been engaged?
No. There's only there. I would have. Yeah. Yeah. There's an ex girlfriend of mine that I would have married.
Yeah.
Happily.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Still would have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Still, right now? Is it Tattoo Lady?
No. This was
that is your go-to with him every time. He always says Tattoo Lady.
Well,
because
she was a fascinating person.
I think he really liked her.
And there was
a
pretty high level of abuse with her for a while that I think also was, maybe Chick could relate to a little
bit. Okay, gotcha. Gotcha.
I'm not worth, gotcha. I deserve this sort of treatment.
Oh, okay, nice.
No, but the one that I would have married, if she were to call me tomorrow and say, hey, I, because she's married.
I was going to say, yeah, is that what happened?
But if she were to call me and even go, you know what, I just need something on the side.
You'd be like, all right.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm here.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's do it.
Yep.
Maybe that's why you're not open to fall in love.
I know what you're saying, but I don't feel like that's keeping me.
No. Okay.
I don't do that.
So maybe there's a comfort level with this girl. Like, you know what you're getting into and you would happily like, okay, yeah.
I had feelings with her that I just haven't.
Oh, okay.
I experienced it in a while. And, it's more, it's not like, and so then when I meet girls, and I've had plenty of girlfriends since then,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't been, constantly, she's not like her, and this is.
Well, then, there's not a lot of comparing, like,
right.
I can't, yeah.
But now, it's almost, I almost have that Jack Palance syndrome from City Slickers, where he's recounting, I think Billy Crystal's like, why weren't you ever married? And he says, once I was on the trail, and I saw this woman from
mm-hmm.
afar,
mm-hmm.
and it was like it could never get any better than that. I knew that if we met,
that's a good idea.
Yeah,
no, that's a good idea.
And so, part of me has that. I fall in love 10 times a day. I give us little stories,
right,
and then I move on.
Yeah,
and I'm like, well, it wouldn't be better than that. Why would I?
Mm.
But that's ridiculous.
Mm. Well, I'd get married again in a heartbeat, but it's. Federal law, state law. I can't. You've been married 3 times. Shouldn't that be a good? That should be a good law. Would people vote for that? Like three marriages is your maximum. You can't get married anymore.
Unless
you die and come back as someone else.
There should be some sort of test or whatever. Or something.
Right.
You would think, right?
Or a real steep fine.
Well, what is there a similar
sort of obstacle course?
Oh, it's kind of like a DUI. Like,
yeah, right.
Yeah, you lose you lose it for life.
3-time loser, whatever it is. What is it in California? Third strike, strike, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're exempt.
Huh.
That's not bad.
All right, let's wrap up the podcast. What can we say? What do you want people to know about Josh Arnold, your website?
JoshArnoldComedy.com. It's being rebuilt, so right now it's sort of not as updated.
And you got movies coming up?
There's a movie.
You're going to put me in, right? I'm going to be in a movie?
Yes, yeah.
Who's directing this? I want to come in to direct it. I'll save the picture.
Well,
good luck with it.
Co-directing credits there?
And there's a movie that we've made. It's shown at a couple, we've had screenings, and it was at the St. Louis Film Festival.
And we're going to go see this tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
The Imposters, right?
No. The Impersonators.
Impersonators,
yeah.
And the so, Imposters is a great movie. With, hoping to sell Oliver that. Platt, have you seen it?
I own it. Terrific
Love
movie.
Love that movie.
Yeah.
Jennifer Tilly, Stanley Tucci.
Campbell Scott.
Campbell Scott.
Is Bob Balaban in that?
Bob Balaban's in that. Yes. We know. We like a lot of the same movies.
Yeah,
Josh.
Yeah. That's a great movie.
Trying to tell you that.
You would make a good son. If I didn't have one already.
And that's what our that's the angle our script should be, whatever. I yes. came up with a couple
ideas. I agree.
Ideas.
You guys have said that before.
See,
I like
here's
that.
The thing that I need to come in with. Like I told you, I need to come in with a script that's already done, and we look at it and make suggestions, and then you suggest back.
I think that would be
and
good.
Then we
you
have,
know what? Then
we have an Oscar winner.
So here's what, chick, I'll write it. And give it to you.
And give it to me, and yeah. I'll look at it.
Because instead of us going, all right, well, we're going to meet in Effingham, Illinois.
We never.
Right. We're going to do it over 2 weekends.
And we're going to fax back,
yeah,
forth,
yeah.
like Hilton John and Bernie Taupin.
Right, right.
Fax the pages back and forth.
Nope. I'll just hammer something out, give it to you, and then we'll.
And after learning a little bit about your dad, I think that Chick could identify with that. If you had, if you wrote him as your dad, like someone who's struggling with this, mm-hmm. you know, and here you are, and you're struggling with it, but you're dealing with it, and you're treating it in a completely different, more acceptable way. I don't know. I would watch that movie. That's all I'm saying. I would watch that movie.
That's what you want the movie to be about?
No, No, I'm not going to say that. I just think that that's because you know what? I don't like scary movies.
This won't be scary.
Yet. Okay, good.
we'll get Tom to pay for it.
I'm going to. Oh yeah, we make him think it's his idea.
Yeah.
That's the funnest part. She not only doesn't she like scary movies, she doesn't like movies
where there's any
sort of tension mm-mm. or conflict or.
That's why I liked Boyhood.
That's why she liked.
Wow, yeah, there's
because nothing happened.
Yeah,
thank you, guys. Podcast.
You two are genuinely two of my favorite people on the planet.
Aww.
And thanks for letting
Josh.
Me.
I believe you.
I'm yeah. I think she wants to fuck.
I'm certain of it. So I'm going to let you two be alone. And thank you for downloading the podcast. It's called Off the Air, but you know that because you're staring at your computer right now looking at it saying, Off the Air with Chick McGee. Oh, this is Bob Schneider.
Don't worry, baby, I'll figure out something.
And we're going to roll out of here.
Won't be expecting the singer. Slip my Mickey and give him a finger. I had a finger for
thanks again,
Josh.
Thank you, Chick.
Love
you, man.
Love you, brother. Good night, everybody.
It's all because I love you, baby. It's all because I love you, girl. It's alright cause I love you, baby.
You ready?
I'm ready.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's roll.
It's alright cause I love you, baby. It's alright cause I love you, girl. It's alright cause I love you, baby.
You ready?
I'm ready.
I'm ready. Let's roll.
Plastic gas cap, it's like up on the sunset strip, straight cold from an old flip.